Welcome back to the Bob Davis Podcast, the new talk in podcast 481. We're going to do a weekend edition. I'm going to sit here and sip my late night coffee. And we're going to do a late night edition because of the recent allegations or developments concerning Senator Ted Cruz's campaign for president. Is there a there? Or is this the dark side of politics, character assassination, an attack by a front runner on a possible challenger? Or is it a counterattack? Or is it one of those, I forget the word that they use in the military, but a strike on yourself? We'll talk about it in podcast 481. Now, if you live in the upper Midwest, if you live in Minnesota or Wisconsin, you know that March can be the cruelest month because you never know what you're going to get. Now, we've had a great March. We had a little bit of snow. We had a couple of days of ice in general. And then you see these pictures of people in other parts of the country. Somebody, a friend of mine posted a picture from North Carolina, and it looks like summer to me. And it's really hard. And I just read, and I'm sorry to tell you this, in the present time frame, supposedly in the first week of April, we're going to have another one of these polar vortexes. In fact, I was just going to go over and unplug mobile podcast command because I have a block heater on it. And I thought, well, I better not, because if it's going to go again down to below zero, then I'll never get it started again until it warms up. And then that also means the possibility of frozen pipes. So I have to mention Ryan Plumbing and Heating for emergency service. With this freezing and thawing, all kinds of things can happen. If you're in St. Paul, you can call 651-224-4771. In Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. They go metro-wide from St. Paul, and that means the suburbs too. Pretty much wherever you are, they got a plumber that can get to you pretty quickly. For four generations, quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems, residential and business. I was going to mention getting the AC checked, but now it doesn't look like it's going to be 70 in early April. It has to be at least 70 for them to check the AC, and you want to get that done. Also, for those of you who have business plumbing issues or heating AC issues, don't forget Ryan Plumbing and Heating. For emergency service, for replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems, for four generations in St. Paul, 651-224-4771. In Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. Check them out online at ryanplumbing.com or click on the Ryan Plumbing banner at the top of the bobdavispodcast.com. Great new website with all kinds of content and information about Ryan Plumbing and Heating. They will come up first now if you do a Google search, which is super cool. And thanks, Ryan Plumbing and Heating, for sponsoring the Bob Davis Podcasts. If you're a pilot and you want to be safe on takeoffs and landings, Alpha Systems makes the revolutionary angle of attack indicator. You guys know what I'm talking about. Having a visual indicator when you're making the final approach to do that final turn can be such a lifesaver, literally. First of all, Alpha Systems is FAA approved. It saves lives. If you want more info, click on the Alpha Systems banners for information about Alpha's revolutionary angle of attack indicator. They'd like to get it into your plane's dashboard today. Or you can click on the banner there at thebobdavispodcast.com for more information. Alpha Systems. Well, I'm going to set this up with a disclaimer, and that is that I am not saying in this podcast that I believe anything that I will assert as an allegation. I am not saying in this podcast I'm not going to make any statements regarding what's going to happen to someone's campaign. I'm not dismayed because I'm not supporting any of the candidates. These kinds of shenanigans seem to be fairly normal in presidential politics. It's happening a little early, but then again, maybe it isn't. And as we'll learn shortly, it's pretty much right on schedule as the presidential primary race. That is the race for enough delegates to achieve the nomination on a first ballot begins to intensify. So that's where we're going to go. The National Enquirer, a tabloid, is running a story that alleges Senator and presidential candidate Ted Cruz has had affairs with several women while married. The Enquirer story says that Cruz has had affairs with five different women who the paper ran pictures of with their likeness smudged and eyes hidden by behind these black bars, so that supposedly you could not identify the women. But people on the internet have already been able to identify three of the five women as Amanda Carpenter, Sarah Isger Flores, and Katrina Pearson, the last of whom works for Trump as a spokesperson. She has denied the story. She says it's false, and she denied it with some level of vehemence. The word categorical was used. When people say that something is categorically wrong or they categorically deny it, what they are saying is that every component of whatever it is that they're denying is wrong, or they're denying every component of what is said. Sometimes I think people think that the word categorical means that they're being lawyerly in their denial. Some might ask, why don't they just say it's flat wrong, or I didn't do it, or whatever. I don't know the answer to that, but Sarah Isger Flores, who is one of the women who is identified, allegedly works for the, or has worked for the Carly Farina campaign and Ted Cruz. Very quickly, as an aside, there is also a story stemming from the National Enquirer story, which is how these things work, which suggests that the Keep the Promise campaign, which is a Ted Cruz PAC, donated $500,000 to the Carly Farina campaign, which, of course, Sarah Isger Flores, one of the women who is in the National Enquirer story as having an affair with the senator, worked for. So she worked for the Carly Farina campaign. So there's the connection there. For his part, as you will hear, Cruz has said this National Enquirer story is garbage. It is complete and utter lies, which is not really it's a pretty strong denial of the story. But as you'll see, it's not unusual. Washington and media have been aware of this story for something like 6 months, according to some. It is referred to as The Thing on Twitter, and if you go and look at the hashtag The Thing on Twitter, you'll see a whole bunch of discussion. So when it was just among reporters and political insiders, they referred to this as The Thing, and various camps were exhorting other camps to publish details on The Thing. We need The Thing, or you guys are nuts. The Thing doesn't amount to anything, and so forth. Or what have you heard about The Thing? Trump-associated partisans have been tweeting for weeks about The Thing under this hashtag, as have reporters. Now, the Cruz campaign says the story was shopped. They're not saying by who, to Breitbart and Bloomberg and other outlets. We don't know why that they chose not to publish the story. The National Enquirer decided to publish the story. Now, they have a good record with this sort of a thing. I hate to say, the National Enquirer broke the Gary Hart affair, the Tiger Woods affair, as well as a story about John Edwards. Both then Senator Hart and Senator Edwards issued passionate denials and said that the story was wrong, as you're going to hear shortly. On October 11th, 2007, after the story about his affair and love child with Rial Hunter broke, Edwards said, "The story is false. It's completely untrue and ridiculous."
Senator, what's your reaction to the National Enquirer story and Ann Coulter's comments on MSNBC last night?
The story's false. It's completely untrue and ridiculous. I've been in love with the same woman for 30 plus years, as anybody who's been around us knows. She's an extraordinary human being, warm, loving, beautiful, sexy, and as good a person as I have ever known. So the story's just false.
Back in the 1988 presidential campaign, Gary Hart said, when questioned about the a possible affair with Donna Rice, which had been asserted after reporters followed her to his house, and saw them, you know, got pictures of them coming in and out and everything else. Hart said, "Such people who asserted things," and in his reference was such candidates, making a person believe that it had come from other candidates. He said, "Such candidates that assert these things are not going to win that way, because you don't get to the top by tearing someone else down," which is oddly similar to Cruz's effort to paint Trump as the villain in this particular brewing scandal, or not brewing scandal, depending on what happens. At the time, the New York Post reported that comment on its front page with the headline lead in straight from the heart, followed by a big black headline underneath that said, "Gary, I'm no womanizer," and then a summary of the story. Dem blasts rivals over sex life rumors. Senator Cruz asserts that because Donald Trump is a friend of the publisher of the National Enquirer and friends with others at the tabloid, the story is attributable to him. In other words, guilt by association.
The National Enquirer published a story. It is a story that quoted one source on the record, Roger Stone, Donald Trump's chief political advisor. Let me be clear, this National Enquirer story is garbage. It is complete and utter lies.
So what's going on? First of all, in terms of publishing this kind of material, this is a standard baiting the hook strategy by outlets like the National Enquirer. It was kind of pioneered by Andrew Breitbart. And my sense is the National Enquirer is a big enough company. It's a very, you know, they're well capitalized and they probably have enough experience with this kind of a story to protect themselves. And so they're probably the best place to publish this initially, because what are they doing? They're throwing out bait and then they're going to see what happens. Chum in the water, so to speak, and we'll see if the sharks gather. In other words, what kind of denials will be issued, what sort of statements will be made, and then as the story grows, the bigger outlets eventually have to start investigating and talking about it. I have to admit, I have been completely unaware of anything like this in relation to Cruz. The latest development, just before I decided to sit down and do this podcast, was that the rumor is not being generated from the Trump campaign, but it's being generated from the Rubio campaign, which is actually really interesting when you think about it. For his part, Senator Cruz maintains the Enquirer story is reporting on stories which have been put on the internet, which he says Trump put on the internet, and they know it. So once again, he is using this to turn it back on to Trump. And this weekend's stories was a cavalcade of reaction to the reaction. Interesting stuff about how long this story's been floating around, like the six-month thing. But overall, interesting timing when you look at the primary schedule, because you have Wisconsin coming up on April 5th, you have New York on April 19th, and you have Pennsylvania on April 26th. Why are those important? Well, Wisconsin, Trump and Cruz are almost neck and neck within some margin of error, depending on the poll that you look at. In New York, Trump, of course, is favored to win. And Pennsylvania, John Kasich is favored to win, to name a few. So if Cruz is able to take Wisconsin and Trump takes New York and Pennsylvania is taken by Kasich, that's continuing to split the delegates. And I'll explain why that's important here in a few seconds. Is the story true? Well, the answer is you and I have no way of knowing whether the story is true. I don't know Senator Cruz. I don't know his wife. I don't know the women in question. I don't know anybody in any of those campaigns. No one is going to talk to me to tell me whether it's true or not. I will tell you that my suspicion is that the Enquirer will not retract the story or apologize. They'll just hang with it until we figure out what the story is, what it means, whether it's going to be confirmed or denied. Who or what is behind it? Well, it's hard to tell, and it's hard to tell because we don't know where this story is going to go. Could it be Trump? Yes. He certainly has denied it, but they're all denying it, so who knows whether it's him or not. Could it be the Rubio camp? If they were pushed to it by certain elements in the establishment, maybe. Could Cruz be calling in an airstrike on his own position to cauterize the possibility that someone else would pick this story up? And therefore, if he releases it himself, it allows him to denounce this kind of politics and then pin it on Trump in one fell swoop. Is it possible? Yes. Or it could be that the establishment, in an effort to clip Cruz so that he doesn't gain too much strength, so he doesn't win New York and he doesn't win Pennsylvania, splitting the delegates between Kasich and Cruz and Trump, which allows them a better chance of going into the stalemate with the convention in Cleveland this summer. Because at this point, because of the current distribution of delegates, every single primary, especially in the big states, California, New York, Pennsylvania, places like that, Wisconsin, is extremely important. Politics never changes, but real estate does. Business does. Change is a constant in real estate, especially in the North Metro. Now, right now, there are more buyers than sellers. So if you're in the market to sell, especially if you're in the market to buy in this kind of a situation, you've got to have a real estate professional that understands the market. And I recommend prideofhomes.com to listeners and subscribers to the Bob Davis Podcast. Prideofhomes.com is a licensed real estate agent and real estate investor with expertise to share with you. In fact, it is a husband and wife real estate team, Eric and Aram Lucero, with Luke Team Real Estate and prideofhomes.com in the North and Northwest Metro, Maple Grove, Plymouth, Rogers, Dayton, Albertville, St. Michael, Elk River, Champlin, and the North Metro 94 corridor. A lot of things going on up there. People want to move up there. There's lots of growth with 610 expansions, schools, and everything else. And buying or selling, you got to have real estate professionals with knowledge of the market on a house-by-house basis so you can find a property that fits your needs. Or if you're selling, and this is really important, a buyer that can obtain the right financing and is ready to go to close. For real real estate expertise, Eric and Aram Lucero, 763-433-9100, 763-433-9100, or click on that banner at the top of the BobDavisPodcast.com. It'll take you to their page. And don't forget, Luke Team Real Estate is getting rave reviews for customer service. Eric and Aram Lucero exemplify that as well. Thank you guys for sponsoring the Bob Davis Podcast. Once again, 763-433-9100, 763-433-9100. So I was suggesting that the establishment Republicans could actually be behind this, because what they're trying to do is clip these candidates just enough that they split votes depending on the primary so that none of them go to the convention with enough delegates to win on the first ballot. Why is that important? Because the rules of the convention so far are that after the first ballot, if you can't win on the first ballot, then the delegates are freed to vote for whoever they want. Okay, depending on whether they are locked in by their state law when they get to the convention. It's complicated, but the scenario also works. If the establishment wants to clip Trump because Cruz is tarring Trump as the originator of this story. So there's a whole bunch of different ways that we can go with this. All of this on the heels of a PAC dedicated to making sure Donald Trump isn't the Republican nominee or isn't elected president in 2016, called Make America Awesome, which has nothing to do with Cruz, publishing a meme which insulted, quote, supposedly insulted Trump's wife. Trump counterattacked Cruz, and Cruz said he wasn't affiliated with the PAC, which is true, and had nothing to do with it, and then counterattacked the counterattack. And that's why a lot of us were a little upset this weekend, because we weren't talking about issues. We were talking about this question of the wives of the candidates. I certainly didn't mention the scandal on the radio show because it's too early to really get into this on the radio show. In a podcast, it's fine. But if the National Enquirer story is out to be, even half true at this point, depending on which half is true, Cruz's campaign is finished, which means that it goes deeper than that. Who doesn't the establishment like? Well, they don't like Ted Cruz and they don't like Donald Trump. So if I'm Donald Trump and I see Ted Cruz go down, I'm going to start wondering what they're going to pull out of the bag to hit me over the head with. People say, and you will hear this week, you'll hear people assert that Democrats never get nailed with this stuff. But I want to remind everybody, let's not forget that Gary Hart was a Democrat. Jesse Jackson was a Democrat and was hit with this. John Edwards, of course, was a Democrat as well, and a very strong presidential candidate, really a rival to then-Senator Obama for the Iowa caucuses. And, of course, President Bill Clinton was a Democrat, and all of them were nailed with this kind of stuff. Clinton and Jackson survived, although Jackson never again ran for office, and Clinton survived impeachment over this. By the way, if you're listening on headphones, then you can probably hear the planes landing. And I used to stop and start and stop and start, and I refuse to do that anymore. So you're going to hear toilets flushing and planes landing and everything else, which is the way it is when you podcast from the basement of the broadcast bunker. Anyway, The other reason that this is so important and so potentially damaging is that Ted Cruz is someone who boasts evangelist Christians as backers and who has made integrity and morality and morals really central to his campaign to try to renew integrity to America, making the assertion that the Democrats have no integrity or are immoral in some way, shape, or form. Now, if you believe that, that's up to you. I mean, you are welcome to that belief. There certainly are some reasons to say that. But this is the core, really, of his campaign, that he's a nice family man and a conservative person who lives conservative values. If it's true that he has had five extramarital affairs, that's probably one of the worst things that could happen to a candidate like Ted Cruz. If it isn't true, it's just as significant because it indicates that there are dark forces abroad, that there are dark forces working in this campaign and dangerous dark forces that are desperate to hang on to power. This is one of the reasons the now famous Iowa letter to passive voters, which appeared to be official right before the caucuses, became important, because the whole thing about Cruz is that he's supposed to be, above board and above that kind of supposed, integrity-oriented shenanigans. So that's one of the reasons that was such a big story. What does this tell me? What's my opinion? Somebody asked me that tonight at dinner. We were talking about this. Well, I think, again, it shows the intensity of the fight in the Republican Party in particular. You know, there's a big fight with Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders, but it can't hold a candle to what is going on with the Republican Party. You cannot know whether this is true, and you can't know who actually generated the story, because that's shrouded. You can't even know which candidate is the target of this, because if it's done right, these kinds of things they start in one direction and they end up in another, and it looks like it's one thing, but really it's another thing. It's a house of mirrors, literally, when it comes to this. It's a puzzle palace when it comes to this kind of stuff, and the people that arrange it and the people that design it are not stupid. What you do know is that Republican establishment operatives in media and in the political world are desperate to stop a Trump candidacy. And I would say that if it wasn't for Trump, they would be desperate to stop a Cruz candidacy. And I'll just offer this as a question. What if you could tar both campaigns with a single operation? What if you could blow both guys out or clip them down with a single operation? Isn't it interesting now that the discussion will turn to the viability of both Trump and Cruz after this situation? Both of them are abhorred by the Republican establishment, rather than the question of whether the establishment is losing its grip and coming up with stupid ideas like running a third-party candidate headed by someone like Rick Perry, for example. And that's what people were starting to report on. Or stories of delegates saying to the media, we decide who gets to be the nominee, not the voters. Which, by the way, is true, as I have been telling you for weeks. But in terms of public relations, it makes people who are low-information voters really angry. As the fight between Trump and Cruz intensifies, they might just take each other down. And again, they don't have to take each other down to the floor. They just have to suffer some hits and sort of soften up the beach, because it's a question of splitting these. Remember what Jeb Bush said when he said, support Cruz over here and support Kasich over there and support Rubio over here in order to split the delegates so that nobody gets to the convention with a majority. How convenient for the establishment if, as the result of this kind of dirty trick, Trump, Cruz, and the others come to Cleveland without a majority of delegates and thus no first ballot advantage. With both candidates damaged and bleeding, it makes it easier for, quote, the adults in the room, their favorite slogan, to step in and reintroduce, I hate to say this, Jeb Bush or Romney or Rubio or someone new like Paul Ryan, someone ostensibly new, at least in terms of this election cycle. I just checked the delegate counts, and, you know, Cruz has quite a few delegates and so does Trump, but Trump is going to have to win something like 85% of the primaries that remain in order to get to that magic number. I think the magic number is 1,237, or it's close. So really, they don't have to hit them too hard. They just have to clip them a little bit in order to get them to the convention without a majority. And you, if you say, for example, a lot of people might say, they wouldn't do that. That's ridiculous. Well, that's exactly what they did here in Minnesota in 1990. I'm just going to read a little portion of a Chicago Tribune article describing what happened at that time with the Minnesota gubernatorial race, which up to a certain point was pretty boring. One of the strangest contests in Minnesota political history got even stranger Thursday, with reports that Republican gubernatorial candidate John Grunseth was stepping down. Grunseth's campaign to unseat the two-term incumbent governor, Democrat Rudy Perpich, was mortally wounded last week by allegations of sexual misconduct 9 years ago at a party in his suburban St. Paul home. Now, this is really important right here. Grunseth, 44, had been under increasing pressure from his party to quit the race after two women charged in sworn statements that a nude and intoxicated Grunseth urged them to join him in a nude swim in 1981 when they were 13 and 14. On Monday, another odd twist added more perspective. Arne Carlson, a maverick Republican moderate, if such a thing existed. That was back in the day when maverick moderates existed, whom the conservative Grunseth soundly defeated in the primary, re-entered the race as a write-in candidate. And then there's a whole bunch of other discussion about splitting the ticket and all this other stuff. While support for Grunseth among leaders of the party's central committee has remained strong, Republican candidates and the party's few elected officials expressed concern that Grunseth's problems would affect their campaign. And then there's a quote from Rudy Boswich, then senator, running against Paul Wellstone, to which he would lose. And then finally, Grunseth held a news conference, which was his, swan song. Grunseth was said to have ruled out Carlson, whose chances of beating Perpich as a write-in candidate are considered to be worse than slim. Instead, it was widely rumored that Grunseth wanted Cal Ludeman, a kindred conservative who ran against Perpich in 1986. But as the evening wore on, scores of reporters and news crews were waiting while Grunseth was said to be in heated debate with his campaign staff and fundraisers. Well, the questions that were never asked and the questions that were never discussed after Arne Carlson won the election was, who exhorted those women to make the charges and who benefited from it in the end? So if you don't think this sort of thing can happen nationally, then you're naive. Not saying that the national electoral situation is the same in 2016 as in Minnesota in 1990, but I am saying that the power behind the throne is very dangerous when it is challenged. And if anything can be said very clearly on the Republican side, it is that the power behind the throne has been significantly challenged, to the extent that the Speaker of the House resigned and a new speaker was elected after the guy who was the heir apparent had problems. And in addition to that, we've seen several stories about what the quote-unquote centrist, moderate, establishment Republicans intend to do about a potential Trump candidacy. You have people losing their heads. Eric Erickson has completely lost his head over the potential of a Trump becoming the Republican nominee. You know, there are a lot of people that would love to see Cruz brought down by something like this, and they're not all Democrats, and they're not all libertarian Republicans, and they're not all Trump supporters. He is not well-liked in Washington. He is not well-liked by moderate Republicans in the Senate or the House. He can be about as brutal as anybody else in a campaign, up to and including starting rumors about the withdrawal of certain candidates when it suited the Cruz campaign, and insulting candidates like Marco Rubio when they felt they needed to, and frankly, as they just have with Donald Trump this weekend, by blaming this whole leak or whatever it is, this whole story on Trump, who may have had nothing to do with it. See what I'm saying? So let's keep our eye on the ball and quickly review exactly what is going on in the primary election sequence, because I think that there are a lot of people who are actually voting for president, but they are not voting for president. State and territorial primary elections, caucuses, and conventions are held to allocate delegates to the national convention by candidate. In most cases, when the primary election has been held, the actual delegates to the national convention have not been elected or chosen. Some states have something called a winner-take-all allocation. Some states allow their delegates to vote for anybody that they choose to when they get to the convention. Some states apportion the delegates equal to the percentage of the vote for each candidate in the primary. The Democrats introduced something called a superdelegate after the 1968 convention in Chicago, which was a debacle, in an effort to take away some of the ability of candidates to control the candidate selection process at the convention, to stabilize the party, as it were. Superdelegates are elected officials, state party leaders, essentially wheels in the Democrat Party. About 20% of the delegates to the DNC are superdelegates, which stabilize the process a bit. They can certainly change their vote, but most of them are pledged to Hillary Clinton. The GOP does not have this, so what they have to do to stabilize or to take the nomination away from a favorite son or to take the nomination away from someone they don't like Ronald Reagan or Trump or whoever the establishment decides that they don't like, they have to do things like change the rules and things of that nature. The 2016 primary process was designed by the RNC to showcase a number of candidates it then thought would reflect a young, diverse, and vibrant political party. They then scheduled something like 17 debates held before major contests in specific states. Unfortunately, most of the candidates turned out to be weak at best. And unfortunately, they drew attention to the Republicans. They were successful in drawing attention to these Republican candidates who turned out to be very weak. At the beginning of this process, let's not forget that Jeb Bush was the front runner, followed by Scott Walker. And what happened in all this was that Donald Trump, who has a lot of experience in reality TV and media and self-promotion, honed for years in the rough and tumble world of New York City real estate and development, where those guys are on television all the time. They're being sued all the time. They're being talked to outside courtrooms all the time. They're at parties all the time. He saw an opportunity to use those skills to dominate this process, and he did. And immediately he stole the thunder and has dominated media coverage and primary votes ever since by going after the most lurid thing he can and saying things that get him in the media over and over and over again. And so it's worked. It's been a tremendous strategy for Donald Trump, and it is a unique development in American politics. And American politics will never be the same because of Donald Trump, win or lose. For whatever reason, the Republican establishment is as terrified of Donald Trump as they are of Hillary Clinton. And, you know, there really is no equal of this on the Democrat side. People say, well, Bernie Sanders is the Donald Trump of the Democrats. It's not even close. What is going on the Republican side of this race is fascinating because the Republican Party is imploding. And somebody has got to get a handle on this. I mean, I'm thinking about establishment guys sitting around just fit to be tied over Donald Trump. And then you turn around and you say, well, and I said this a while back, if Donald Trump isn't the nominee, well, then who is? Because none of the other candidates are really have wide enough appeal. Ted Cruz, Kasich, Jeb Bush, and everything else. And so the other thing is that in terms of, you know, political nuts and bolts, with the superdelegates, Hillary Clinton only has to maintain her hold on those delegates and win California and New York, and there really won't be that many fireworks at the Democratic convention. But on the Republican side, the only thing the establishment can do to hang on to its power is to try and split the votes between the remaining candidates, John Kasich and Ted Cruz. If you've been paying attention, you know that the Republican establishment has been pulling out all the stops. They've threatened a third-party candidacy against Trump. They exhorted Mitt Romney to peripherally insert himself into the race with disastrous results for Marco Rubio and, you know, by the same token, Ted Cruz, because it made them look smaller, and Donald Trump won primaries that maybe he wouldn't have otherwise. I'm not saying he wouldn't have, but you never know, or at least they would have had more delegates. The surrogates of the Republican establishment are desperately whipping up support for people like John Kasich. If they can clip Trump's momentum a little bit, as I have said again and again, then Cruz wins Wisconsin, Kasich wins Pennsylvania. It's a mixed bag in some of the bigger primaries later this spring and summer, and no one goes to the convention with enough delegates to win on the first ballot. Thus, someone from the establishment rides in to save the day. What to look for? Well, I would look for rules changes that will make it harder for Trump to win on the first ballot, even if he does win the magic number of delegates necessary for a first ballot nomination. Scandals for both Cruz and Trump to prevent them from winning the required number of delegates, which is why this thing is so interesting. The kinds of scandals that make their nomination doubtful, even with the required number of candidates. More talk of bringing candidates like Romney, Ryan, or even Bush back into the mainstream right before the convention. You're going to hear people this week speak in disgusted tones about the tone of Cruz and Trump fighting back and forth, and we need to rise above this. We have too many other problems in the world for us to be arguing about this kinds of stuff. Where are the mature? Where are the adults in the room? That kind of a thing. And if the scandal efforts work well enough and they knock both Trump and Cruz out, it leaves Kasich, who still doesn't have enough delegates to get the nomination, and then you can have a brokered convention which solves the problem. In any case, you will not know whether this is happening or not until the convention, and you will not receive any confirmation as to the truth of any of these scandals. Any suggestion that it is happening here or there or how any of this is happening is pure speculation, like what I'm doing right now. But I'll tell you, accidents like these just don't happen. You know, there's an awful lot of pundits and talk show hosts and others that have thrown their support without qualification behind candidates. One of the things that I learned a long time ago, and I've been talking about this on the radio show, I've been talking about this in podcasts, and I won't ever do this again, because what happens is you support these people and then they go and they do stupid things. Many of those people are going to look very foolish if this story turns out to be true, or if some dark thing is also true about Donald Trump or any of the other candidates. One in particular, Imam Glenn Beck, is going to look really foolish if this turns out to be true with Ted Cruz. And for Glenn, I pray that it is not true, because depending on who you support, you may be dismayed or giddy over a scandal like the current Cruz question besmirching the other guy. So you can be real pleased because the other guy is taking a hit, but be careful what you pray for, because it might just happen to your guy. Good possibility is that after the convention, we will have a completely new race for president, at least on the Republican side, and a number of very upset people. And to those people, I would like to say this. There's a story this week that says Republicans are losing faith in the electoral process, because I think a lot of people think that they're voting for president, as I have said, and you are not voting for president. I have told listeners again and again and again, you have not been voting for president. You have been voting to allocate delegates to national political conventions, which then nominate candidates based on a combination of delegates by allocation, by state law, by party rule, and so forth. You are not voting for candidates, and you are not voting to have your state represented by a single candidate. There are rules, and there are lobbies, and there are votes at the convention. This is what people do at conventions that will determine who the nominee is. And just because you voted for someone doesn't mean that that's who's going to win your state or that's who's going to be the candidate. Anyone who does not know this has been watching too much television and listening to charlatans who support candidates, where the discussions have been about things which the election probably won't even be about because they're the lurid things to talk about, without any time devoted to substantive explanations about what primary elections are, how they work, and what conventions are and how they work. And there are many, many people who have not involved themselves in politics enough to even know a little to be dangerous, who are ignorant, literally, of these things. Here's the bottom line. Politics ain't beanbag, or so the saying goes. It is a dirty business because it is all about acquiring and holding on to power. Politicians and their operatives, people, will do anything to get their person elected. Anything. Okay? So much the better if there are skeletons in the closet, because that makes it easier to control the candidate once he or she is in office. And there are ways to cauterize those kinds of problems, especially if your strategy saves the day or destroys an opponent. As an operative, you become very important to that particular candidate. And elections in the United States, despite what people in the media say, oh, this is the worst I've ever seen. Well, what are you, 60 years old, 50 years old? You've lived about 10 minutes in compared to the history of the United States and or the history of politics in general. There has never been a clean election in U.S. history ever. In fact, the second election held in this country in 1800 was a disaster. Thomas Jefferson hired a writer to pen insults against John Adams, making them lifelong enemies until the almost the very end when they died. In 1824 and 1828, Andrew Jackson's campaigns against John Quincy Adams were dirty, so dirty that, in fact, in New York City, I've told this story before, supporters of Adams, when they went to his rallies, guys would come up behind him and put chalk on their back so that they would be chalked, and then they'd get beaten up by hooligans. I mean, that's how life was, and that's how dirty campaigns were. And, you know, if you Google dirty U.S. elections, you'll get scores of pieces about which campaigns were dirty and sleazy. And that doesn't even get into individual state politics in individual states like Illinois or Louisiana, which are, bellwethers of corruption. Your definition of sleaze is your guide to how dirty you think these elections are and to what levels operatives and party leaders will stoop to win. And they seem like such nice guys when you meet them. But if you cross them, you will rue the day. And by the way, you'll never know that it was them when the missile hits you or the knife goes into your back. The thing nobody's talking about is why this is a problem. And I was thinking today, we shouldn't really even care who the president is or is going to be. The government footprint in our lives should be so small by design and by act that we can be somewhat disconnected from politics, so we don't have to monitor our social media or social media in general three times a day to make sure that there are no trolls, usually some government operative putting things on websites or saying things if we're candidates. And if you choose to be involved in politics, it should be because you want to serve your community and help your neighbor, not because you want to acquire power. But because government is so powerful, that's why these people are involved in politics. The only reason this is important is that the government has made itself so important. So the media covers it 24/7 and people watch it 24/7 because it's a train wreck. It's always been a train wreck. It's an airplane accident. It's a milk truck hitting a school bus on the freeway. It's a house fire. It's a bridge collapse. It's famous men and women acting like idiots and being exposed for it. Racism, affairs, angry tweets, and uncontrolled moments, old people looking really old, young people looking really young, protesters blocking traffic, real emotional pain suffered by the families of some of these candidates. You can see it on their faces when they campaign. And I'm talking about children as well as adults. And lies, 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 and damn lies every single day. And behind the scenes, people willing to do anything for their candidates, anything. Some of us laugh at House of Cards as being unrealistic, but then again, maybe it isn't. So strap yourself in, episode, let's just call this one episode 56 of this season's election is about to begin. And we have at least another 100 episodes to go of various things to happen. So that's the latest on the Ted Cruz thing at this hour. I'm sure there'll be more developments. Well, I know people that can work up a sweat talking about politics, but for me, I have to do yoga. And I usually do yoga in crowded rooms of over 100 degrees with high humidity. You end up sweating a lot and you can get easily dehydrated even if you drink a lot of water. We do a thing called Yoga Sculpt. And tonight I was doing a hot class and I came out and the Sculpt guys were coming out and there was a couple of young strapping guys talking to the instructor and they were saying, God, I can't believe I had to hit the mat. I ran out of energy there at the end. And she said, you guys got to stay hydrated. You've got to get electrolytes into your muscles. And usually people will drink sports drinks, but they have a lot of sugar in them. There's a thing called Hydrus, H-Y-D-R-U-S, Hydrus transformed by yoga practice. It will transform any kind of fitness program that you do, whether it is SoulCycle or CrossFit or lifting or competitive sports, whatever it is that you're doing, Hydrus makes a huge difference. Why? Because it uses nanosome technology, which is cellular technology. It's a natural cellular thing to get electrolytes into your muscles really fast. If you drink half a quart of water before a class, it's going to take 40 45 minutes before that water gets into your muscles and gets, you know, working on hydrating you. Hydrus works a lot faster, and that's why it's great. It helps me take it to the edge, and that's where the growth is. That's what it's all about. Join the performance hydration revolution. Go to hydrusperformance.com, H-Y-D-R-U-S performance.com. That will take you to their website, and it tells you a lot about what Hydrus is, how it works. You can order some. It's great. I'm just telling you, I use it every day. I use it in yoga. It's fabulous. Hydrus, H-Y-D-R-U-S. And the website is HydrusPerformance.com, or you can click on the Hydrus banner at the top of the BobDavisPodcast.com. Thanks once again to Ryan Plumbing and Heating for sponsoring the Bob Davis Podcast. Longtime client of the podcast, and I love him. I guess cold weather's coming, which means you could have emergency issues with pipes. If you have emergency problems with AC or heating, residential and business, don't forget Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul, 651-224-4771. In Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. Wherever you are, suburbs or city, they have somebody close to you. They can get somebody out to help you. They've been doing this for four generations. Don't forget Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul. And thanks again for sponsoring the Bob Davis Podcasts. People are going to say, hey, what's that stuff that you drink before yoga that does it? It's a great product. It's called Hydrus. Go to HydrusPerformance.com. Get hydrated. Stay hydrated. Get vital electrolytes into your muscles when you're exercising. You will be amazed. HydrusPerformance.com. That's H-Y-D-R-U-S. HydrusPerformance.com for more information. Now, things are changing up in the North Metro. Every time I go up there, I flip out because I can't believe how much building is going on up there. And if you're looking for a house, it's a great part of town to look at because of the schools and the highway improvements and the proximity to Minneapolis and St. Paul. Don't forget prideofhomes.com and Eric and Aaron Lucero and Luke Team Real Estate up in the North Metro. If you're looking to buy or sell, 763-433-9100, 763-433-9100. Or check them out at prideofhomes.com. You can go there or you can click on that banner at the top of the Bob Davis Podcast page. Well, I want to thank everybody that has commented and donated to the BobDavisPodcast.com on the page at the BobDavisPodcast.com. You know, those donations go directly to maintenance and diesel fuel and coffee and beef jerky when we head out on the campaign trail in Mobile Podcast Command. Thank you for listening on Stitcher.com, iTunes, TuneIn, BlogTalkRadio.com, Google Play. Thanks for liking and sharing and favoriting and following on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, where I am BDavis7843. Instagram is my favorite social media because it's generally snark-free, and I really appreciate the donations and the support. And thanks for listening to the new radio show on AM 1280 The Patriot at 4 p.m. on Saturdays. It's a new time. They moved us up a little bit. If you want to hear that show, you can go to GCNLive.com. If you want to hear the Bob Davis podcasts, you hear them right here listening either off the page at the BobDavisPodcast.com or using one of these apps like iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn. And thanks for listening to podcast 481.